Larry Burkett began Crown Financial Ministries in 1976. His longtime friend and co-founder of Crown Financial Ministries, Howard Dayton, wrote this following account. Dayton said, "I can vividly recall the first time I saw my future wife, Bev, in 1970 at the First National Bank in Orlando, Florida. Bev worked there, and I was at the bank to borrow money. This was before I was introduced to the Lord and his principles of handling money. I was there to build a restaurant made out of a caboose and five railroad boxcars. From the instant I saw Bev, I knew she was the girl I was going to marry. It took me 6 months of visits to the bank to work up the courage to ask her out. After that, it only took me 2 weeks to ask her to marry me. When she said yes, I was surprised to find out that she was wondering what took me so long, since she knew she was going to marry me the first moment I came into the bank. In fact, as soon as Bev saw me, she told one of her co-workers that this was the man that she was going to marry. I am writing this letter on the 34th anniversary of our wedding. The past 34 years have been an incredible blessing to me. That beautiful young girl from the bank has been my best friend, my most valued counselor, a fabulous mother to our children, and I love her more today than the day we were married. She has supported me unconditionally in every step of our journey, including the times and included considerable risk for us. Proverbs 12:4 describes her. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She was a gift from God, and I thank him for her daily." After Larry Burkett's death and memorial services in July of 2003, before Larry passed away, Larry Burkett and I were business partners, says Dayton. "Bev and I spent time with the Burkett family who were grieving. As Bev talked with one of Larry's sisters, they discovered that Larry's sister was the very co-worker from the bank in Florida in whom Bev had confessed that she was going to marry me. This was before we met Larry Burkett and long before we ever merged our ministries. The most amazing part of this story is that all of this transpired before Larry and I had even accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Hidden from us was the fact that God had been weaving an amazing tapestry that would eventually bring Larry and me together to serve him side by side. Even before we have accepted Christ, he was pursuing us with the kind of love we never knew existed. And as if that wasn't enough, the Lord has a plan for your life too, even if you don't know all of the details." And folks, that is how Crown Financial Ministries began. It was according in some crazy way to God's perfect plan. Was it a coincidence that Dayton's future wife confided in Dayton's future business partner's sister even before they were future partners and even before Howard Dayton and Larry Burkett were believers? Coincidence? I don't think so. God's providence? Yes. Dr. J.K.S. Reed once said this, "Chance and coincidence are quite ruled out." Last week, missionaries Gary and Donna Furch shared a story that they recently experienced. Their friend, Pastor Saul, and some passengers boarded a small boat and were traveling down the river in the Amazon jungle. The boat ran out of gas, and if that wasn't bad enough, a host of alligators were making their way to that boat. Pastor Saul, sensing the danger, disembarked the vessel, docked the boat, and subsequently spotted a trail through the jungle, which he and his group somehow and strangely chose to follow. This trail led to a small hut or cabin deep in the recesses of the Amazon jungle. They knocked and were greeted by an uncertain, unknown host. When Pastor Saul told them of this situation and then introduced himself, the residents of that small, remote hut or cabin in the deep recesses of the jungle indicated that they had not only heard of Pastor Saul, but had actually listened to him preach and minister on the jungle's only FM radio station, which featured Pastor Saul's preaching and teaching. They began asking Pastor Saul questions about the Bible, and in that setting, because of the boats running out of gas, Pastor Saul led an entire family to Jesus Christ. Coincidence? I don't think so. God's providence? I say yes. Psalm 31:15 says this, "But I am trusting you, O Lord. You alone are my God. My times are in your hands. Let me ask you this. Have we trusted in God's timing? Are we allowing God to do our life planning? Solomon said in Proverbs 16:1 and then verse 9, he says, "We make our plans, but the final outcome is in God's hands." We should make plans counting on God to direct us. So do we trust God's timing and directing in our daily living? And what happens when we do? Let me ask you, have you ever been the right person in the right place at just the right time? When you look back, do you realize that God or something that you may not have deemed appropriate at that time, but today you look at it and say, God was there at that time. Do you look back and say, I was that person that God planned. I was that person that he chose. It was that place that he chose, at that time that he chose, that put me there because he knows that that's where he wanted me. Right person, right place, right time. And at that moment, you were in right standing. Standing in the right place exactly where God wanted you to be. Little did Albert Einstein know that his statement, God does not play dice with the universe, would have a whole lot more theological meaning and merit than he ever intended. Our great and mighty God is not a God of rare circumstance or random coincidence. Our God makes and he has made amazing plans. Proverbs 19:21 reads like this, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." In the Living Bible, that translation says something that's a little more fun. It says, man proposes, but God disposes. Now, that word purpose that we read has power. In fact, that word purpose has a lot of power. Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, wrote a best-selling book in 2002 called The Purpose-Driven Life about this very topic. He claimed in those many chapters of that book that God made us for a reason, decided when and where we would be born, Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5, how long we would live by planning our days in advance, Psalm 138, 8, and then routing us to this point of perfect intersection where our purpose would meet his at the place and time that he deemed to be right. You know, there's a passage in Scripture. We know it. We've read it. We understand it. But we need to read it again. It comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, 11, 14, and 15. And it gives us a really good indication of time. And it gives us an appreciation of time. And here's what this passage says. It says, there is a, listen to this word, there is a right time for everything. Now that word right is incredibly important today because if you're the right person, the right place at the right time, if you're going to experience right standing, you better know that God has everything purposely planned right. It says there's a right time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to harvest. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to destroy and a time to rebuild. A time to cry, a time to laugh. A time to grieve, a time to dance. A time for scattering stones, a time for gathering stones. A time for to hug, a time not to hug. A time to find, a time to lose. A time for keeping, a time for throwing away. A time to tear and a time to repair. A time to be quiet and a time to speak up. A time for loving, a time for hating, a time for war, a time for peace. And then in verse 11, he says, everything is appropriate in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Verse 14, and I know this, says Solomon, that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or taken from it. God's purpose in this is that man should fear the all-powerful God. Whatever is has been long ago. Whatever is going to be has been before God, brings to pass again what was in the distant past and disappeared. God's timing. It's good and it's right. And there's a reason that you're here today, because his timing is always good and it's always right. Now, so far we've talked about some P words that have to do with God's timing. P words like plan, P words like providence, and a P word like purpose. Listen to this story. After David Wilkerson's tragic passing, son Gary Wilkerson took over for his father and became president of World Challenge, a worldwide ministry that reaches hundreds of thousands of people daily. Gary Wilkerson shares this true story that recently happened to him. He says, I was in Boston to preach a while ago, and I stayed in a hotel which had a small restaurant. As I ordered dinner, for some reason, my heart was filled with compassion for the waitress who was serving me. I didn't know what it was about, but I knew the Lord wanted me to say something to her. When she brought the pizza I ordered, I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to say. A half hour later, as I finished eating, I still didn't know. I think I'll order dessert, I told her, stalling. Still blank moments later, I considered letting the opportunity pass. But I couldn't shake this deep conviction to talk to her. When she arrived with the cake, I blurted out, I guess I'll have one more Diet Coke too. As she left, I prayed under my breath, Lord, I can't keep eating. I really need a word from you. This time when she arrived with my drink, two words popped into my mind, lonely and wounded. Excuse me, I said, clearing my throat. You're going to think I'm an idiot, but I have to tell you something. I've been praying for you this whole meal. And there are two words that I feel God wants to say to you about your life, and those words are lonely and wounded. She stared at me shocked. How did you know? She said. And then I noticed a fading bruise on her neck. She said, a few weeks ago, my husband beat me and broke my collarbone. He's done this several times. So I finally got up the nerve to leave him, and for the past 2 weeks, I've been staying by myself at a cheap hotel. Tears welled in her eyes. You're right. I'm lonely, she said, and I am wounded. I can't believe God would tell you to say that to me. I didn't know God was so kind. As she went to get my bill, I thanked the Lord for speaking, but he wasn't finished. When she returned, I said, there's something else God wants you to know. This isn't the first time that you've been wounded by a man. Now she began to cry. 20 years ago, I was married to a different man, and he was abusive too, she said. He knocked me down the stairs several times. I left him, but I felt empty and worthless. She looked frightened. Is there something wrong with me? Did I do something to deserve the type of men I've married? No, I answered. God loves you. That's why he wanted me to tell you all of this. He sees your life and into your very heart. And between tears, she nodded, and then she left with my credit card to pay the bill. Wilkerson says, I was witnessing a clash take place at the gates of this woman's life. All of her hurt and pain were coming out, and the love of God was going in. Yet the Lord still wasn't finished. When she came back with my receipt, I joked mildly, listen, I'm sorry every time you come to the table, I bring up things that are hard for you, but the Lord wants me to tell you one more thing. When you were 6 years old, someone hurt you badly. This time she got angry. I gulped, thinking that I'd finally crossed the line. She shouted something and stormed away. I waited for a few minutes for her to return so I could at least apologize before I left. But when she came back, she was sobbing deeply. I can't believe what's happening here, she said. I've never told anybody I was abused when I was 6 years old. How did you know? I repeated, I told you. It's not me. It's Jesus. It's his love for you. He wants you to know that he sees your need and he loves you. She shook her head. I've cried myself to sleep the past 2 weeks, she said. When I was little, I never understood what the priests were saying in the church, but I remember someone quoting from the Bible that Jesus loved me. These past nights at the hotel, I remember that. And I've prayed, Jesus, is it true? If you really love me, would you send me a message somehow? I stood up, I grabbed her hands, and we prayed for her to receive Jesus Christ right there in that restaurant. She got saved. She got healed. When I saw her the next morning at breakfast, she looked completely different. I'm changed, she said. I can feel it. I'm different. She was testifying of God's love, and as Wilkerson said, she didn't even know it. You see, because of Gary Wilkerson's right standing, God deemed Gary Wilkerson to be the right person at the right time in just the right place to bring another person into right standing and salvation. Now, earlier we talked about God's plan and God's providence and God's purpose. But we would be remiss if we missed this godly phenomenon known as our fourth P word, and it is called, brace yourselves, Wednesday night Bible studiers, because it comes up a lot. It is called predestination. We're going to talk about predestination because God's word talks about predestination. So let's read our sermon text. It comes from Romans 8, 28 through 30. This is a shout out to my mother, her favorite Bible passage, Romans 8, 28. I told my mom I was going to be doing this today. So here we go. This comes from the Living Bible. We're going to give you two translations of this powerful passage today. Romans 8, 28 through 30, starting with the Living Bible, it says this, "And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans." Verse 29, "For from the very beginning God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son, so that His Son would be the first with many brothers. And having chosen us, He called us to come to Him, and when we came, He declared us not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness, and gave us right standing with Himself, and promised us His glory." Now, the New International Version translation is one we should read as well, and it says this, "When we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." Folks, I have news for you. We are planned, predestined persons. That is what we are. At the right time, in the right place, God chose you. He predestined you to be the right person through your love for Him and His Son, to become like His Son and carry out His providential, purposeful plans for everyone. You've been called. You see, you're here not because of an accident. You're here today for a reason. He planned it. He predestined it. He desires for you to follow His will. He desires for you not only to know Him, but to be in right standing with Him. This is His plan. Pastor Don Acock shares an example of this amazing truth. Listen closely. He says, "On April 21st, 1855, a man named Edward Kimball led one of his Sunday school boys to faith in Christ. That boy had been a nobody to many people. His name was Dwight L. Moody." Perhaps you've heard of Moody Bible Institute. Dwight L. Moody, the founder of that institution. He became the world's leading evangelist in his era. His preaching led multiple thousands of people to faith in Christ. How did Edward Kimball ever know that he would be the man, a Sunday school teacher, that he would be the man to bring a man named Dwight L. Moody to faith in Jesus Christ? Edward Kimball was the right person in the right place at the right time, because Edward Kimball was in right standing with God. Dictionary of Theology's Peter Angeles defines predestination like this. He says it's the biblical teaching that declares the sovereignty of God over man in such a way that the freedom of the human will is also preserved. Second, says Angeles, God's predestination of human events does not eliminate human choice. A thorough understanding of how God can maintain His sovereignty and still allow human freedom seems to be reserved for His infinite mind alone. Great minds have struggled with this problem for centuries. Predestination is a profound and mysterious biblical teaching. It focuses our thinking on man's freedom and responsibility as well as God's providence. The psalmist said in Psalm 139:16, he says, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." How do you feel about that? Does that give you comfort? You see, today, folks, for everybody who's looking for peace, especially when they're not comforted and when they are living in an uncomfortable situation, I believe that they can get peace from the fact that there is this thing called predestination, that God planned it, that God saw it, that God has a use for it, and God has a purpose for it. And even when we're feeling bad, it can still be good. And even when we're dealing with something that's bad, it can still work out for God's good. This is what God does, and this is how much He loves us. You were purposely and providentially planned. You were designed for His great purpose. Now, let me ask you something. Why do we carry calendars? I carry a calendar. I do the old school calendar. Donna, see my calendar. I don't use the new things. I don't schedule things in my phone. much to the chagrin of so many people that say, I can't believe you don't do it. I feel like if I lose my phone, I lose all my calendar information. So I just write it down old school. Why do we carry calendars and day timers and day runners and schedulers? Why do we do it? Here's why I think we do it. I know why I do it. It's because we need to be in the right place at just the right time. You see, the last thing that we ever want to be is last, lost, and we certainly, at no point, do we want to be late. And so we carry our calendars to remind us of where we need to be. And God says, I got it. I got it. Because for God, He's never lost, He's never last, and God's never late. God has this thing planned out, and whatever you're dealing with today, it's planned for a purpose and a reason, and we have to trust God's perfect calendar owned by our Heavenly Father. And if we can do this, I promise you this, it will give you the most amazing peace you've ever imagined. I want to go back to a situation that happened, and it was when Jonathan Thompson was going through, he was just preparing for surgery, and his dad, John Thompson, said something I'll never forget, and it changed my ministry. Because I watched a dad who was dealing with something so traumatic and so tragic, and that great man at that great moment said this. He said, God's got this. I'll never forget those words. God's got this. And I looked at a father and I said, that's a father who is leaning on the Heavenly Father to make those plans and trust in those plans. Now, if we would just simply say something like this, God's got this, I think we could have real peace. I think we could understand what real peace truly is. Look at verse 28. I read it again. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. When's the last time you were the right person in the right place at just the right time? Folks, how did you end up here? Have you looked around? There's nothing around Covell. I understand churches in town. I mean, there's a reason you made your way here. Someone invited you, someone asked you, someone told you, someone forced you. Whatever it was, you ended up here. And this is just a small part of God's great plan, but you're here. And there's a reason you're here. And I'm grateful that God brought you here. And I understand that there's still so much more for you to do and for me to do here. God's plan. And for those of you who say, I can never believe I ever made it to Covell, you didn't. God did. He got you here. He made sure you stayed here. And He made sure that you will continue to grow here. It's His plan. And if His plans change, you'll know it. Because you'll be in right standing with Him. You'll be trusting Him and leaning on Him. Dr. James Gray says this about predestination. He says, God does not work in a haphazard, unplanned manner. He's sovereignly moving all things for the welfare of those who are His own. The believer is the focal point for the future redemption of creation, a future redeemed body and the present help of the Holy Spirit. And the entire program of God focuses upon him. This is why all things work together for good to them that love God. Folks, when we love God and we love his son, we can then and only then better understand this thing called predestination. I want to go back to verse 28 one more time. We're going to break this thing down because I think it's just that good of a verse. Mom, this is for you. Five key words in that verse that I think stand out. We got to talk about them today. So we're going to cover these one by one. First of all, let's look at the word know. Not N-O. We know that word. We don't like that word. K-N-O-W. Know. And we know. We know. That gives us certainty. It gives us comfort. It gives us peace, right? When you know something, you feel good about that thing. It's nice to know things. I love when people come and say, hey, you probably don't know, but can you help me with this? I love that I do. Last night, Jada's closet door was off its hinge. You're going to love this. And I looked up and Jada said, I really broke it. It's messed up. And I'm thinking, dad time. It's dad time. Be the dad. And so I looked and I'm like, I can fix this. And I actually thought, I know what I'm doing. I'm happy to admit it took me 2 minutes, but I fixed it because I know. I can't fix anything else, but I know how to fix a closet door. I know. And when we can say, I know or we know, it gives us incredible comfort, confidence, and peace. We know. Here's the next word. All. I'm not trying to be facetious, but all is all, folks. You see, all is everything, not just some things. You see, so often we say this. We say, well, I know that God planned the good things, but he didn't plan the bad things. All is all, folks. God plans everything. And when we know that God planned all, we can trust in him even more. We know that he's always by our side, never leaves us. We know that even in the difficult times, he's there with us. All is all. Here's the next word, good. That's a good one. I love good. I don't want bad. I don't even like the word bad, but I like the word good. Good food, good times, good game. I love those words. Good is good. But here's what it says. It says, we know that all that happens to us is working for, listen to this, for our good. Our good. You see, our good when we're right standing with God is God's good. And our good should make us feel better that even when we're feeling bad, it's all good. And when someone says, I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're dealing with it because I can tell you're feeling bad. You can say, it's all right. It's all good because God's got this. And that brings us peace. Good. Fourth word, love. You realize there's a conditional statement in Romans 8:28? There is. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good. Listen to this. If. There's your conditional statement. If. The big word if. If we love God. You see, when we love God, and if we love God, we're smack dab right in the middle in the heart of the plans of God. We understand it. We maybe even get to see it. But I promise you this, you'll be comfortable with it. Good and love. And finally, the last word, plans. Plans, because we all make plans. Let's face it, some of us are good at plans, some of us are bad at plans, but we make plans. And here's the best part about this verse. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into whose plans? His plans. His plans. You see, at the end of the day, we can make our plans, but according to this verse, if we're in right standing with God, we're going to love, we're going to trust, and we're going to know that His plans are good plans. And you're going to feel a lot more comfortable knowing that God has made a good plan for your life. His plans. So how do we know that we are squarely in the midst of God's great plan? How do we know that we are in fact the right person in the right place at just the right time? We see better and we understand better when we are righteous, which can only come from that love and that trust that we have in Jesus. Folks, let me make sure we understand this. Righteousness is not part of us. It's just not. You see, without Jesus, we can't be righteous. Without Jesus, we're just sinful people. But with Jesus, we can experience something that's so amazing, and it is God's holy righteousness. You see, righteousness is right standing. In verse 30, we talk about right standing. John said in 1 John 3:7, he says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Our love for Jesus produces righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin. He's talking about Jesus. So that in him we might be, or we might come to righteousness of God. It's through Jesus that we come to righteousness of God. It's through Jesus that we understand righteousness of God. If someone says, I'm righteous, I can be righteous, I don't need God, I can promise you, you won't because you do. Let me give you an example of what righteousness is. And I think this will work. So in 1994, on December 10th, I married my beautiful wife. I'm going to sound like the Howard Dayton story. And I loved that day. It was a great, great day. Except for what my brother did to the car. That was bad, and we'll get past that. But it was a great day. And so our honeymoon was, and I was so excited. My grandma died, and she left me a gift. And she said, I want you to use this on your honeymoon. My grandma was very special. And so I decided to use that gift to go to Disney World because, let's face it, I'm always going to be a kid. And so we went to Disney World. And I was so excited. I'd never been on a jet before. I'd never been to Disney World before. It was great. But here's what happened, and I want to make sure you understand this. In 1994, there was no such thing as Expedia, Travelocity, and cell phones where you could book travel. So you either did it one of two ways. You used a map and did it on your own, or you booked a travel agent. I decided that I was going to use a travel agent who happened to be one of my good advertisers at the radio station that I was running. And so we went ahead and we used a travel agent. Now, here's where it happened. There was a fiduciary responsibility from that travel agent based on our relationship that we had. Let me tell you what that responsibility was. They were going to make sure that we were the right people in the right place at just the right time. And you say, well, why? And I can tell you, because I paid them. You see, there is a responsibility. I gave them money, and now all of a sudden they're obligated to make sure I'm in the right place at the right time. We were the right people. And folks, let me tell you, they didn't miss a beat. We get on the jet. The captain says, you're honeymooners. Take first class. Like, really? Never fly first class your first time. Believe me, it goes downhill from there. And, so and I remember we get on the bus, we leave the airport, and we're looking for the bus, and there it is, and it's so clean, and it's so clear, and everything is working so well, and we pull up to the Grand Floridian where we stayed, which, by the way, if you've never seen it, it's amazing. And we pull up to the Grand Floridian, this is around Christmas times, December 11th, 1994, we get off the bus, and they are roasting chestnuts on an open fire in front of the hotel, and I said, it don't get any better than this. Right person, right place, right time. Now, let me tell you the reason I bring this up. The honeymoon was amazing. Every part of it was amazing. Our relationship with God kind of works the same way. If you say, does that mean we have to pay God to become righteous? No, that's not it. But there is a responsibility. You see, the responsibility is this, based on this passage. If we love God. If we love God, there's a responsibility. There's a relationship that engages. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with our merit. It has everything to do with his grace. And so when we give him our love, he says this, I'm going to build a relationship with you. That's the responsibility. I'm going to share with you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to take care of you. And then what happens is he says, not only that, but I'm going to plan. I'm going to plan for you. And I'm going to make everything known to you. It'll be evident to you because eventually you're going to know that I have your best interest and my best interest in heart. And that's how it works. You see, God looks at us and he says, my good is your good, but you got to trust in my good. And that relationship becomes apparent. And all of a sudden we realize that he's going to help us and he's going to put us in the right place at just the right time. That's what God does. And so today, folks, we have this relationship. And this relationship gives us incredible peace because at the end of the day, when things are bad, you can still realize that you have peace because you know that ultimately it'll be good. Because that's what God does. And so many people live in the bad. And they say, I don't think God's with me. I don't think God cares about me. And when we're feeling bad, we think God's doing bad. And yet today we realize that at the end of the day, because of this relationship that we have with him, that God will make sure that it ends and it will be good. Now, I don't know what that timing looks like. And I certainly have no idea what God's planning looks like, but he does. And I trust in that. And I love that. And it gives me incredible peace. And so regardless of what happens, if we're feeling bad, if we're dealing with something that's bad, I can look at it and say, you know, at the end, we're going to make it through it. Because God is going to make sure that it's good. Do we love God and do we trust in his right and predestined plan for all of us who love Jesus? Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he said, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul says, pursue righteousness. Then he adds something to that. He says, also pursue faith and love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't we want to be part of and better understand God's plan for us who love Jesus? I think we do. Don't we want peace? You see, God's plan brings God's peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, it's one of my favorite passages. It says this. Paul says, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. I love that passage. Because when your life is chaos and your life is a mess, at the end of the day, we know this, that God ordains peace for those who love him and choose to follow him. For those who have said, I want a relationship with you because I know how much you love me. We want peace. To be in the right place at the right time, to be in right standing, we have to strive for and live for those things that God predestined for and planned for us, this thing called righteousness. Righteousness brings peace. Isaiah 32:17 tells us this. This peace puts us at rest with God's predestined, prepared, purposeful, providential plan. Even in the midst of turmoil and pain and loss and grief, our righteousness helps us to trust in and love God and live for his plan, which will provide peace. And then we can know that regardless of the circumstance, that there is no such thing as coincidence, and that for that moment and during that tragic or triumphant event, that we indeed are the hand-picked, God-planned, right person that's in the right place at just the right time to righteously glorify him. We cannot be righteous without Jesus. And to be part of God's plan, let's trust in God's plan and love our Heavenly Father who has made those plans. Do you love God? I mean, do you really love him? Because if you do, then you are fitting into His perfect plan. We're going to go before the Lord in pastoral prayer. Folks, if there is a need that you have right now, and I encourage us to think about this. If we look at our lives, we say, you know, I don't know if I'm living how I should be living, but I feel conviction. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to be something that I'm not, but it's something that I want to be. Today is a chance not only to commit our lives to Jesus Christ, but to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ. To say, I want to understand the plan. I want to be part of God's plan. And folks, I'm going to encourage us today. If we're going to come to the altar, come to the altar. Lay your sins at the altar. You know, it's one thing to come to church. It's another thing to be part of the church. But it's an entirely different thing when we follow our Lord and Savior and put our faith in Him, who is the foundation. That faith is the foundation in the word of this church. We have prayer requests, that we have needs or people that are hurting today. Obviously, our beloved Velma is one of them. When she hurts, we hurt. Folks, when you hurt, we hurt. And so today, I ask that we will pray not only for Velma, but for every single person on that list that needs help. Join us here at the altar if you wish. Heavenly Father, thank you for your perfect plan. Thank you for instituting it. Thank you for talking about it through your word. Father, we're not capable of understanding predestination in its fullness. We can't. But we do know this. We know that when we trust in and love your Son Jesus, and when we dedicate our lives to Him, that we will better understand the plans that you have for all of us. Those plans bring us peace because we know that you're in control and we don't have to be. Father, I pray today that you will help us to cede control to you. I pray today that you would help us to give full control of our lives to you. And I pray that you will teach us each day to trust in your plans. And when we're feeling bad, help us to know that it ultimately will be for our good. And when we're feeling good, help us to know that it's part of your plan, that we are called not only to trust in you, but also to use what you've given us to reach out to fellow man. Every single account that we read today, Gary Wilkerson, Pastor Saul, Howard Dayton, Larry Burkett, even Edward Kimball, every single one of those people trusted in you, and you used them to bring lost man to you. And so, Father, I pray today that we will trust you to do the same for us, that we will see those opportunities to bring not only ourselves to you, but to bring lost man to Jesus, and I pray that we will let you do this in us. Father, our hearts are heavy today when we think about those who are hurting, and maybe it's us. Father, if it is, I pray that you will heal us and that you will forgive us and that you will give us peace and comfort amidst our turmoil and pain. Father, it doesn't have to be physical, it could be spiritual, but I pray today that you'll help us. And I pray today that you'll help every single person, all of us that are gathered here today, that understand that there is a great purpose for our lives, a plan, if you will, for our lives. And Father, I thank you that you've planned our lives. And I pray today that we'll let you continue to do it. Help us to not get in the way, but help us to get out of the way so that we can see your way. Father, I thank you for this day of worship that you've given us. It doesn't end here. It extends to out there, and I pray today that our ministry and our work would please you and satisfy you. And I pray today that you'll teach us about righteousness that comes from Jesus, because we're not capable of being righteous on our own. Father, I thank you for every single thing that you've done for us today. Be with and heal those who are on that bulletin that need your help. Give them comfort and peace, and let them know where that is coming from. I pray that they will testify of your greatness. We thank you for everything that you've given us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray today. Amen. Let's close with our final song that, and if I'm right in what I think Dan has chosen, it's a really good song. Julie and I were out yesterday, and a guy came up that Julie and I know very well, and he said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I'm not feeling well." And he said, "Man, you've been having some real issues." And I said, "It's all good. It's all good." I said, "I know God's got this. God's got this, and it's all good." Last night, Julian said, "Dad, I have questions about predestination. They're studying it at Cornerstone Christian Academy." She said, "Man, we've had some interesting debates versus Calvinism versus Arminianism." And I said, "What did I say, Julian?" I said, "At the end of the day, I trust what God's word says," right? Trust in what God's word says. Know this. Know that at the end of the day, God has a plan for those who love his son, Jesus. And that means that applies to all of us, whether it's good or whether it's bad. He's still part of the plan, and he's still making the plan. That gives me incredible peace today. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can give us this peace. Even when things are going bad, we know that they can still be good. And so I pray today that you will help us to lean on these truths, and I pray today that you will help us to never leave your word. Thank you for making sure that we are in your word. And today we say, it is well within my soul, because we know what you can do for us and through us. I thank you for this time of worship that you've given us today. Go with everyone that's here today. Keep us safe. Watch over us, we pray, and help us to minister to those in need as you continue to minister to us and plan those lives for us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.